The views expressed on the Big Shiny Podcast are explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the newest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week we are going to be talking about comics and collectibles.
Woo!
Sitting to my right, as always, is Kylie.
Hello.
I remember the introductions this week. Sitting kitty corner from me, so not next to you, Kylie. Kitty corner from me, Jimmy.
Kitty, not catty.
Catty.
And co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas.
I hear static from his device.
Yeah, it's his Bluetooth connection. It's fucking shit up. Tom, really? You're gonna,
really? I mean, it could be any phone for all I know.
What are you doing?
No, Mario!
And that's Tom.
Hi, everybody.
And I, of course, am Tyson. And so let's jump right into it. Comics.
Comic books.
So we've actually got a couple items on the comic book agenda. So let's start with the items that we've got on here. So let's start with, I'm actually interested to hear about the Ultimates wrap up.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Is it a wrap up?
Oh, really?
I think you should talk about it because you probably know more. I haven't gotten a chance to read the Hunger series.
Oh, right.
So supposedly Galactus is showing up to eat everything.
Yeah, and he's merged with the Ultimate Universe Galactus, so they're just this big, powerful son of a bitch.
Right.
And basically, so the last issue of Ultimate Spider-Man, which I believe was 28, I finished reading that. It ended well. They kind of have a team. It's like Cloak and Dagger and Spider-Woman and Spider-Man. And I'm like, they're gonna go off and make this awesome team. And I flip to the letter pages and read that initial blurb at the top, and it says, "Welcome to the final issue of Ultimate Spider-Man." Like, what the hell?
And it says final.
Yeah. And same thing with Ultimate X-Men. That story finished up, and that's the last.
Right, which is issue. A great ending, by the way. Phenomenal ending. Really liked it.
So they're doing Cataclysm, which is supposed to be the end of the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
And they did the first issue. Well, they did like a point one issue last week.
Yeah.
And that pretty much kind of dealt with what kind of happened at the end of the Hunger miniseries.
Which for people like me who had only just hadn't actually read Hunger, worked really well for me. Because I did, yeah, it got me right up.
I think that's exactly what the point was for that. Did you pick that up, Luke?
The point one? I picked them both up, but I haven't read them yet.
Oh, okay.
But I want to talk about them.
So they're doing an Ultimates Cataclysm series, which I think is the last, called Last Stand or something like that.
Yeah, the Avengers Last Stand or the Ultimates Last Stand.
Ultimates Last Stand, and it's a 5-issue series, and they're doing a 3-issue Cataclysm Spider-Man series.
Right, and then X-Men's going to tie in, right?
And they're doing a 3-issue X-Men one.
And then what about Ultimates? No, those were the three Ultimates, right? Yep. Spider-Man, X-Men, and that, yep.
And that's supposed to tie everything up. And then Lucas shoots me over a text from, what was it? Was it Bendis's?
It was his Tumblr.
Or Tumblr?
And on Bendis's Tumblr, it's one of my favorites. You can ask questions on Tumblr. And so people ask him questions all day long. And then when I get home, there'll be like 20 replies from Bendis about everything and anything. And one of them was, are you going to follow through with the Ultimate Spider-Man issue 200, like you talked about, which is roughly issue 40. If you count like volume 1, volume 2, and all this bullshit, and then you get to this current one, which I think is 3 with Miles, if that's on issue 40, that's technically 200, even though it's not, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And it ended on what number?
28. Yeah.
So they're 12 away from that. And Bendis said, there are things in the works for Ultimate Spider-Man
200. They just approved that today, actually, I think is what his reply was.
Right. So if his final issue was this last one, but they have 12 issues away, it's going to be issue 200 that they said they're doing. I don't know that the Ultimate Universe is actually ending.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not, but maybe they'll have like an aftermath type situation where
they could count these three cataclysms as three Ultimate Spider-Mans. Yep. I mean, there's three more issues there.
So then nine issues of the aftermath.
Well, they could.
If the universe is eaten.
And if the rumor's true that they're going to combine the universes, maybe they'll still keep an Ultimate Spider-Man title. He'll just be in the 616 universe.
But then what happens to Cloak and Dagger and Jessica?
Maybe they get fucked. This issue that happened first issue of Last Stand.
Dude, I thought Gonka
Manhattan
was dead.
Just got fucked. It was just gone.
Like, I actually, Galactus, I have the digital on my iPad. Do you want to see it?
Of the first cataclysm?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'll read it when I go, but
it was pretty sweet. I just read that first issue thinking, wow, this is the first issue of this series, and this is the damage they're doing to the universe.
And talking to Kylie at the shop, he was like, you know, he's like, they do a lot of damage. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, whatever. They probably blow up a stadium or something. No, like, they do.
Galactus just appears and starts ripping the city apart.
Like, Jesus. Like, energy beams and shit exploding. I thought Miles Morales' buddy Gonky, like, I thought he was dead for like six pages because the shit hits the fan, and it was good.
Who's writing that? Is it Bendis?
I believe it is Bendis, and I think Bagley's doing the art.
Fuck.
Pat Bagley, the cartoonist?
No, Bagley. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Mark Bagley.
But you didn't need to read those. It's,
I'll shut the fuck up. Awesome. I just don't care for him.
Well, really? The thing with him is he's consistent.
Exactly.
When he was on Spider-Man, they were putting out an issue every 2 weeks. Every other Marvel book, it was like, well, we'll see.
They have to alternate artists if they try to do that kind of schedule for anyone else.
Yeah, and even Ultimate Spider-Man now is maybe once a month.
Yeah.
Do you know why he's consistent?
Ultimate Spider-Man's been really good.
Opinion.
And it's too bad because I don't know if anybody had read back when you had Bobby Drake and the Human Torch and Kitty Pryde and Kong. Like their little ragtag group of superheroes that Spider-Man was palling around with.
They were all going to high school together.
I was going
to
say Combo's from the X-Force. Remember him with the hand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so wrong guy. Thanks.
No, but that's a cool guy.
But so they were kind of building that up with Cloak and Dagger and Spider-Woman. And so I'm kind of bummed if they just end it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going somewhere cool.
So is this an organic end to the Ultimate Universe? Or because, I mean, every month when we come together and talk about this shit, it kind of, my thought process was always like, well, that's a lot of damage to this universe, or you can't come back from that left turn that they just took.
Did they write themselves into
a corner where they're just like, oh, well, fuck.
Keep going down that hole.
Yeah, just
keep drilling.
Keep going down. We got to end it now. Like, someone slipped off the cliff.
It definitely seems like they could just be like, well, you know, we've killed Wolverine. We've killed Charles Xavier.
We've killed Spider-Man.
I actually thought at that last issue of Ultimate X-Men, I thought they were going to kill Jean Grey and Kitty Pryde.
Right.
I thought, oh, they're dead. They're so dead.
They killed Iron Man, but then brought him back.
Right,
I liked how they brought him back, though, because he used the Infinity Gauntlet to bring himself back, basically. So I'm like, okay, I can see that.
And he's still just inhabiting the suit, right? Like, he's just
He was, but when he got the gauntlet, now I've got my body back.
That's right.
Well, and to be fair, like, not all of the characters that have died have stayed dead. Like, Beast was the first to die, and he was the first to come back.
Yeah, he died clear back, like, what, 20 issues into Ultimate X-Men when it first started?
Yep.
Like, he kicked the bucket early.
So, Dr. Doom stayed dead.
And that was, like, a big deal. That was like, oh, this is going to be so different. Like, they killed Beast.
And they could have brought him back.
They could have, but I liked how they twisted the Reed Richards story and made him just go batshit crazy and insane.
Right.
And
he was so good.
You don't see that in the regular universe.
At the end of the Ultimates, too, where, like, who is it that came back?
Was it Sue that came back to tell him?
Bang.
Yeah. It had a whole time travel thing. Ultimates, I don't know. They've definitely kind of written themselves into a corner, but there's still a lot they can do with the characters they have.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that it would necessarily be a game over time.
I tried to think what they would do if they merged the universes, and it just wouldn't be as cool.
That sounds weird to me, too. Like, how would you... Because, I mean, then you're going to have a Miles Morales Spider-Man running around with a Peter Parker Spider-Man who's in his
30s. No, there's still no Peter Parker.
Yeah, it's still Doc Ock.
Yeah.
He's still there.
Okay. Well, as Peter Parker.
But you know what I mean. Like, okay, we know that's not going to last forever, right?
Yeah, so, write it, you know?
It's just, I don't know, it seems... And then...
Multiple Spider-Mans.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
What is seems so bitter.
What is it, Spider Island?
I don't imagine. I don't imagine Bendis would be on board either with getting rid of his Ultimate series just to merge it into the 616 universe.
So you just swipe and the pages will turn.
if you Google porn, boobs show up.
Since we're talking about Spider-Man, I wanted to hear what your thoughts were with that Superior issue where you were thinking this was setting up to bring Peter back. I read it and I didn't get that feel.
Well, for some reason, it felt like the... Because they were... The person that died... Right when Doc Ock died, they made it a point to show that that moment when he died, someone woke up from a coma that was overweight. And I thought that for some reason maybe that was Peter's... I don't know.
But it looks like it's some villain of his. Or
yeah, something. Some overweight girl, it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
And overweight then, fat chick. And you'll like this. Spider-Man 2099 is stranded in current...
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I do like that.
Yeah, he... So he had to come back. I think I talked about that a little bit on the last podcast to kind of help save the day and save his would-be dad that doesn't know it's his dad.
Pretty much save his own life.
Right, because then he wouldn't be born.
Looper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
all
so
babies need to be born.
When he ends up saving the guy's life, the only connection he has back to 2099 is through them. And so they're like, well, Spider-Man obviously is a huge pain in our ass. He saved my life. I don't want to have to deal with him anymore. We're just going to shut this off. And they shut off that device or whatever it is. And he gets stranded and decides that he's going
like to be
the bodyguard for his grandpa then.
Is it his great-grandfather or just his grandfather?
I think it's just because 2099. Yeah. So yeah. I think it's just his grandpa. Mm-hmm. But so he's still kicking around in the current Marvel U.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a lot of neat
I'd like to see a little spin-off.
Opened.
They don't even have to do an ongoing series, but I'd like to see a little mini-series, you know, dealing with him.
Can I borrow that from somebody?
Yeah, come on over. Even, like, the Hobgoblin stuff that they had done, and now, like, Norman's kicking around.
Yeah, they need to bring that back. It kind of disappeared.
They've done a really good job with Spider-Man of just starting little threads and then coming back later and touching on them a little more and building and building, like comics used to.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that does
back
piss me off.
Back in the good old days.
The good old days. I guess they're bringing back Amazing Spider-Man. But it's stories about Peter Parker as Spider-Man before he died.
Oh, yes. I've seen this.
It's like
it's like 700.1, 700.2. It's all that.
It's fucking stupid. Yeah.
So it's just a rehash of the old storylines?
It's
no,
new
it's
stories.
Just stories that weren't told, basically.
Does every issue start? Do you remember
it's
when?
It's like that Spider-Man The Untold Tales.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they've already done that.
Yeah, it just sounds very
Spider-Man's
irritating.
Tangled web.
Especially, well, at least Tangled web was tanked. Different. Oh, that's gross.
Tangled. It's like a what if series, but for Spider-Man exclusively.
I guess. Yeah. But, Superior is still good. And it's kind of fun because if you recall earlier on in the series, he had said, like, you know, Peter was a fucking idiot. He wasted all this time at keeping an eye on Aunt May and his girlfriends and MJ and trying to keep all these people happy. He should have got his doctorate. And so he starts following through with some of these things. But then that Parker luck, to an extent, starts to catch up to him. And, like, things happen so he doesn't get his PhD.
Yeah, he fucked that up.
Because his big final thesis is on technology that Doc Ock created. And so his professor's like, you just stole all of this research. This isn't yours. This is Otto Octavius's, you fucking idiot. And he's like, oh, Jesus Christ, of course.
One of the guys on the panel was one of Doc Ock's friends. So yeah. He's like, that's not your shit. That's
and then,
else's.
Like, he's fallen in love with, he ended midget. Up getting a tutor, which is a midget. It's this dwarf. And so there's this dwarf that's his tutor to try to help him through the classes. And he's like, I don't need a tutor. But then they kind of hit it off.
But I need to have sex
with build this
midget.
Relationship. But I know it's crazy, right?
Like, I'm like, I don't have any problem with that, like, on a fundamental or principle, but it's just you start talking
it
about
sounds
these
ridiculous,
comics,
yeah.
And it's like they've just gone so far out, like, left field. It's like, okay, what's the next logical step for Spider-Man? A midget romance or yeah. Little person romance. I apologize.
Probably
I don't mean to be unpolitically correct, but it just seems so
probably
weird.
More of a dwarf than a midget.
They're really just like twisting that fucking arm and they're like, what else can we do?
But the interesting with forced. The character is then he ends up like trying to, he has to give up being Spider-Man or different things or conflicts for this love interest of his. Even though he was bashing on Parker
so
for doing it with MJ. But he doesn't understand that. He's still seeing it as like, you know, my life is
shit.
This
is different.
Yeah. So it's...
it's a little person.
I'm glad that they got rid of Peter in his head, and since then it's continued
that's,
to be
that's, I think
series.
That's when I was really off and on with that series. I stuck with it, but that issue when he finally got rid of Peter's consciousness in his brain, that's when I started really enjoying it.
That seemed to be your guys' biggest pain point with the series was... you felt like they need to shit or get off the pot, right?
Either well, the fact that they just had his little his ghost up that soon after that issue 700 really irritated
me. Can I add to the Spider-Man thing?
Yes.
In Incredible Hulk, when Pete or David wrote it, they kind of did like the same thing with Bruce always being in there, but the Hulk. It's just like a mind thing, like the Hulk wanted to be the Hulk and Bruce Banner wanted to be Bruce
Banner.
Yeah, it was the same thing.
That sounds
and it worked out okay.
That sounds like an interesting story though.
It's damn good.
It all came together.
So let's should we move off the Marvel stuff for a minute?
So basically what I'm saying is it will work out in the end.
It will work out in the end. I wonder how long they're going to keep this going.
I don't know about that shit, but
that'll be interesting. Did you want to mention this, cuz this is all I have to go on. You can give your thoughts.
So Kylie brought me, what is this called?
A postcard.
Yeah,
it's a postcard.
What is this thing called?
They have this real mail.
This fucking piece of paper, this cardstock. So there's
he's got this e-card.
So I have this card in front of me, which now just got swiped. It shows the chalk outline of, looks like the Watcher, and it has blood, or looks to be like blood, like splattered. So maybe he got shot in the head or some.
Well, it looks like it's like coming out of his eyes or something.
Some head damage or something. Or eyes, for that matter. And it says police line do not cross, so it just has the whole
May 2014.
So what is that going to be? Is part of Marvel Now?
Dude, they're doing like the new Ultimate Marvel Now point whatever. I don't know what the fuck they're doing next year, but it's getting ridiculous.
So it's like new Marvel Now.
I need to grab my phone. Can you grab that for a second?
Yeah, and we were talking about this at the shop, but like, and this might tie in with whatever they're doing with the new Ultimate stuff, but if this happens, my hold is down to like...
nothing.
Like, I'll have Turtles, Captain America, Walking Dead... Swamp Thing, and I'm doing the new Sandman, so there's five. Like, from nine titles to five overnight, basically.
But
Anna will be happy.
Crazy.
Can I throw a little thing? I just have to read it.
Oh.
Who's
this from?
This is from my buddy Logan. He was telling me that...
Is this that Stanley interview you were talking about earlier?
No. This is... So Marvel Now is going to do a Punisher series, so I wanted to know what the hell that would be like. Hmm. So the New York-based vigilante relocates to Los Angeles.
He's got to take down those Raider fans.
So L.A. offers all kinds of fun opportunities, they say. There are mountains, skyscrapers, beaches, slums, all in a sprawl big enough to host a variety of villainous antagonists. The southern border may play a part of the story, too. L.A. is a schizophrenic city. It has so many identities. We can never get bored of having Frank interact with each of them. And nearby are military bases. So it'll kind of be cool. I kind of feel a certain way about that because I've always read Punisher in New York or out in the army and like crazy places like that. So to see him interact in California with like Mexicans and that sort of thing, I don't know. I think it adds like a brand new thing. I don't know if it's a brand new thing because he's still fighting like thugs and shit like that. But
fake titties and stuff.
Yeah. So
I'm saying this just goes to show like I don't read a lot of comics anymore. But even whenever at my peak, I never was picking up a Punisher book.
Mm-hmm.
I was always under the impression that the Punisher just traveled America punishing people. I didn't know that he was like located in
New York.
City.
Yeah. New York.
I wasn't aware of that.
But yeah, so now that he's going to be in California, I kind of think that's kind of interesting. So that might be something to be on the radar, if Punisher fan or not, just to see a hero. It would be like putting Spider-Man, in my opinion, putting Spider-Man in California and see how he does.
Hold your composure, Tom. I don't know what you're looking at on your iPad.
Is there a porn over there?
Yeah.
What is your so, somebody might have stolen my iPad and Googled black penis. I'm not going to name any names, but...
So,
I hope that's a work iPad.
I want to talk about... I did see that the new issue of TMNT features Bebop and Rocksteady.
No.
They have their own spinoff.
So, yeah, so the new one ends with Bebop and Rocksteady, right?
What was the last thing I told you about the comic series in the podcast? You remember? Was it Hun? Did I talk about Hun?
Casey Jones' dad.
They've hit this, still a bad guy.
They've hit this rhythm to where they'll introduce a villain, and then in the next issue of TMNT, it takes that villain, right, and runs with that story, and then it'll end with something, and then the next micro series ties directly in. So it's almost as though it's just one big series.
Right.
So you had Hun, and then the follow up to that was, I forget.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
No, what's the name of the gal that runs the? I'm going to go
Karai.
Into the. So.
No, not Karai.
The Purple Dragons. Anyhow.
I'm trying to think of her name.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I gave it up.
That? Purple Dragons.
What do you think? That's what he does. God. It's nails on a chalkboard.
So, yeah, it is. She goes and tells Casey that Casey's dad took over the, you know, the group, and he, and there's going to be this big fight. That's still fucking me up, that whole vagina sound he makes. The...
Is that what that sounds like?
Well, if you get it wet first.
Mine usually sounds like, don't stop, please.
So, anyhow, so...
Is her name Angel? Is it Angel?
It doesn't matter. So the Ninja Turtles, except Leo, are going... They found out where Splinter's hideout is, that all these guys are going to be there at the same time, and they want to show up so they can take Leo back. And that's the issue we posted that has Heisenberg in it.
Okay.
So all of, like, the criminal groups in New York congregate into this abandoned theater or something, and Shredder's saying, I'm taking over everything. You guys are on board or you're not. This guy's not on board. Leo, you have to kill him right now. So that's when the turtles show up to save the day, and Donatello is invented, because he does machines, he invented this giant mechanical, like, hand thing, but it uses a magnetic power.
He got it from the scientist guy.
That was from his micro series. So he got it from that scientist.
Oh, okay, I remember that. I actually heard that issue.
That hand, that technology he uses, and, like, he picks up a car and slams it through the side of the building.
That's awesome.
And then when Shredder comes to attack him, he just picks up Shredder and, like, throws him. And so they convince Leo, like, hey, we need to get out of here. You need to go with us. And Leo's kind of been having this, like, he keeps seeing his mom, like, as a ghost, going around telling him what to do. So I'm keeping distracted.
He's thinking about the black dicks.
Those black dicks. So he, at that moment, they're about ready to take off with Leo. They're carrying him away. And Karai, Shredder's granddaughter, and Bebop and Rocksteady show up in the hole that they came through. And that's where the issue ends. And so then the next issue is the introduction of Bebop and Rocksteady, which is the best issue of the comic thus far.
Amazing.
Nice.
So they're a part of another gang. You don't hear what it is, but they get kicked out of the gang.
Which is like the fifth gang they've been kicked out of or something.
Right. They've been kicked out of all the gangs in New York because they're that shitty. And the... And so they're trying to decide what to do next, and they hear about this, you know, challenge where they can go join this other gang, but they have to do these different tests. So they show up, and the test is to beat the fuck out of everybody, and Karai runs that. So they end up beating the fuck out of everybody, and they get to be mutants, and they get to choose what animal. So they're talking about, oh yeah, the rhino, that one's got horns. I want to be the fucking rhino. And it's just hilarious, these two morons. So they pick their mutant powers. They go with her, and their only thing they're supposed to do is intimidation. So they go to this ninja clan, and they're just supposed to stand next to Karai as she discusses things. And then she has to go inside the building, and while she's in there, they're talking shit to the other goons. They're just like,
No, they're not even talking shit. They're like, pretty cool gig, right? Like, they're being all friendly, and the other goons say something.
Yeah, so they have this altercation, and then they beat the fuck out of them, and it turns into this big brawl. And the girl that Karai was talking to goes to run away. So they're charging after her, and Rocksteady, the rhino, for those who don't recall, says, okay, I'm going to head her off at the pass. And so he just starts running through the center of the building, just taking down walls. And the way that they drew the art and everything, it's just hilarious. Awesome. And so the building collapses, and they think that Karai died. And so they run away. They're like, we fucked it up. The last gang that was going to let us be a part of them, you know. What are we going to do now? And Karai shows up with the Foot Clan and is like, yeah, you did fuck up. And so they apologize and we want to be a part, you know, we belong. She's like, no, you can't take orders. You guys are fucking idiots. You're done. So she has the entire Foot Clan that's there, a dozen or so ninjas attack them. And there's just a splash page of them mutilating all of the Foot Clan. They kill all of them.
And so they've got like swords and shit hanging out of their body. Like they've been stabbed and their shit.
Oh, yeah. It's just...
It's awesome.
It's brutal. So then she says, okay, well, maybe you're good for something, but don't fuck up again. And that's where it ends. And so where it would have begun is them going to that meeting to help her out. But it's, if you read any Ninja Turtles issue and have any nostalgia for those characters, it's fucking awesome.
I just
awesome.
Love that they're introducing them into the comics.
And it fits pretty well into that
universe. And there's a whole scene where they're like picking what animal they want to be. And he's like, I want to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And they're just so stupid.
Yeah, and she's like, we don't have a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex.
You're going to be a fucking pig and a rhinoceros. Move on. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, and when they're going to the... the meeting and they're in the car and Rocksteady's talking about like, check out how kick-ass I am now. I've got a fucking horn on my face. It was good stuff. I like that quite a bit. Nice. But I want to hear about what Kylie's been
reading. Yeah, I was going to say, we got about 10 minutes or so left before we take a break and start our discussion. So why don't you tell us what you brought us this
week? There's a couple I want to talk about. There's one, it's a 4-issue series called Buzzkill from Dark Horse.
Ooh.
It's actually pretty interesting. It's about a superhero who gets his powers through drugs and alcohol, basically. And each drug affects him in a different way. So, like, caffeine will give him, like, heightened senses, but, like, alcohol and smoking will, you know, beef him up.
Is this a Garth Ennis book?
It isn't, actually. It's, I don't even know who this guy is. Donnie Cates?
Wow.
Never even heard of him. But it's a pretty interesting. It starts out... And he's trying to go to AA because basically he has to get really fucked up to go save everything. But he gets so fucked up, he like destroys things and kills people. And he wakes up, he pretty much drinks to the point of blacking out. So he doesn't remember anything that's ever happened.
Oh, wow.
He just hears about the after effects. So the book starts out with him trying to go to AA and just kind of kick this and get on with his life. And you find out all his villains that he's been fighting have kind of teamed up and found out who he is. And one of his buddies from his little superhero group, kind of like a Justice League type group, comes and saves him. He's almost getting his ass kicked. But it's actually been, there are only 2 issues into this 4-issue series, but it's a pretty interesting premise.
It sounds like it.
Very different.
Especially on Dark Horse, most of their kind of, like the alien, Resident Alien, they do these fun stories that are off the beaten path.
This when I read it, actually when... Right before I started talking about it, I thought it was Image. And I looked down, I'm like, oh, no, this is Dark Horse.
So there was a thing from Warren Ellis called Super God, where they take the pills.
Yes.
Powers. Is that similar?
No, not really.
Fashion?
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, you're thinking that the one they take the pills, that's No Hero, I think that is.
Yeah. Okay.
The next one, and I don't know if you're reading the Straczynski series Sidekick.
I am.
Are you picking that up?
No.
Oh, Straczynski's like back doing comics again.
Not for Marvel.
No, he's got his Joe's Comics, but Image, it's under the Image label, so he's doing his own creator-owned stuff for Image.
That's cool.
So Sidekick was the first one that has come out. There was one that came out this week. I haven't read it yet. I can't even remember what the hell it's called. But Sidekick's pretty messed up.
How far into it are you?
I read all 3 issues so far.
So I haven't read the 3rd issue, I don't think, yet, or maybe I have. But the end of the 1st I thought was really cool, where it kind of wraps back to the guy he was a sidekick to might actually be alive and now is like a supervillain.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
He's faked his own death, basically.
Right, yeah.
So what's Sidekick about?
It's about the sidekick that's just, he's kind of a fuck up. The series starts out showing him doing his one big heroic thing that he did, and he got, you know, he got cheers and applause and it was great, but that was like the only thing he really did, and after that he was just a sidekick and everyone kind of just didn't give a shit about him.
Well, and he's living he was picked up by the superhero, the Red Hood, right? Red Mask. And the guy basically raises him, he's like a son type of situation, and then the Red Mask dies. And
he gets assassinated,
and his life just kind of falls apart after this, and you're kind of watching him try to rebuild his life, which I think is kind of a cool take.
And what are the sidekick's superheroes, or superpowers?
He flies?
He can fly. And he can take a bullet, you know, from a distance. He has some strength, but he's not, like, all, you know, powerful.
He also fake arrest hookers and gets blowjobs in alleys. Yeah.
Well, basically, it kind of has a kind of a Robin-type origin. Yeah. Like, there's a serial killer out there who had killed his parents. And so he saw his parents get, like, mutilated by this doctor who, like, just, like, opened them up and flayed them on a fence or something. And the superhero comes down to save the day, and the evil villain goes to fly away, and he looks back, and the boy's gone, and that's when you find out the kid can fly. And he had taken 2 of the guy's knives, and he's just up in the air stabbing this guy to death, just like, you fucker, you killed my parents. So they land, and he's like, how many people know you can fly? He's like, no one. He's like, you're going to come live with me, and you're going to be my sidekick.
Yeah, I like what he's doing with it. I like how it's dark, but it's still kind of fun. Like, when he gets the fake superhero costume, become a fake superhero and goes...
Yeah, he goes to St. Louis, I think.
Yeah, and saves somebody, and then somehow accidentally lets it slip that he's really the sidekick, and suddenly everyone's like, oh, you're a sidekick. Fuck you, man.
Like, yeah, he gets all this funding from a company, and he's going to be St. Louis, Missouri's... superhero, and he's all excited. Like, he's like, "I'm going to be a superhero finally." He gets a corporate sponsorship, and he sleeps in one day. There's a whole side story of these evil twins that one of them's fucking with his head.
Right, she's like a succubus or something.
Yeah,
right?
that's this girl. And he wakes up late, and they're having this big ceremony to, you know, introduce him to the city. And he puts on a suit and flies over there really quick. But he put on his old suit, his sidekick suit. So when he comes down to this group of people, they're like, "You're this fucker from this other town. We don't want you." That's pretty much where it has left off.
It sounds interesting.
It's cool. It's been pretty fun. It's got that Straczynski touch to it.
What else you got, Kylie?
Second issue of Sex Criminals?
Is there only two issues?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, this came out last week or week before.
I don't know. I'm not actually buying these. I'm reading the review copies.
And it hasn't really gotten any further from the main story where they're, you know, trapped in whatever building and these people are chasing them. This is pretty much the guy's origin story, the guy whose penis is glowing. And it's his origin story about how he discovered how he got the power.
Yeah.
And so where the girl calls it the quiet, that's where when she comes, has an orgasm and everything freezes, she calls it the quiet. He calls it cum world.
Well,
of course he does.
Doesn't he get
this
the name
fractious.
Because...
He gets the name cum world because...
he wakes up with his pants down... At
no, that's
store,
that's
right?
The porn store that he keeps.
Yeah.
He basically there's a. this is awesome. This is a
Do
hilarious.
You have these there, at the comic shop.
I think we have the first ones. I think we got seconds on reorder, but.
I might have to read.
Careful
this.
Careful of my
home world. I might be sold.
He knows of a big porn shop, you know, and he's always walked past it, but he's just a kid. He can't go in there. But there's a bank across the street. So after he figures out how to freeze time, he runs across to the bank, whacks off in the bathroom,
freezes time,
and then runs across and like is just stealing porn from the porn store. And that's kind of how
and time stops freezing when he's ready to have sex again.
Yeah, right? When he's ready to go again, that's when the time
and
starts.
And then at some point, like he obviously just appears there with his pants down. Jesus.
I know this is probably
it's
the last
wacky,
guy
honestly,
that should probably say this, but I don't know.
I think you'd dig Buzzkill.
Jimmy, it's right up your alley, man.
Right there with what fell out of my ass.
That's not till next episode.
Next week.
Is that the video game section? We're putting what fell out of my ass in the video game section?
It'll
what
go,
did I do?
It'll go well with the other subjects I'm seeing here. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll work great. So...
Okay.
I like Sex Criminals. I think it's fun.
That's.
I guess I have to read them, but I'm just not. I don't.
It's wacky and fun, and yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wacky.
I get it.
Well, what the hell is going on?
I think on the note of Cum World, we're going to take a break.
Cum World.
And when we come back, we're actually going to talk a little bit about some
Cum World
collectibles. So
nipples.
Nipples. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Stick. Hi, this is Mike Pilot.
And this is Brian Young with the Full of Sith podcast.
And Consetta Parker couldn't join us for this little promo right now. She had to run off and do some important work at Rancho Obi-Wan. But let me tell you, if you listen to our podcast, Full of Sith, these are the kind of things that you're going to hear.
Yeah, that's basically his entire move. That's what he does. J.J. Abrams makes movies that feel like Spielberg.
Because if you work at Lucasfilm for almost a decade, it's kind of like beaten into you. It's like boot camp.
But I like that movie, and I think most people do. And you shouldn't let that kind of stuff get to you. And you don't want to know what his reaction was?
It's a dream come true. I'm on a Tauntaun.
No, he knew he was going to make it. He did the electric slide before. He knows what it's like to do the big... What is that called? The big wet and ride or whatever it's called?
The slip and slide?
Yeah, the slip and
slide.
Yeah. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
He knew. He absolutely knew.
I say, the worst thing Luke lost there was his masturbation hand. And then they gave him a robotic hand that probably doesn't get tired. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true. I don't know. He handled it better, Travis.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm leaving it back at the loss of his hand.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy. And we shall have peace.
The Full of Sith Star Wars podcast. You can check us out on iTunes or fullofsith.com. We're everywhere.
And you're full of Sith.
That could be one way to lead into the discussion.
Oh, I got a toy thing for you guys.
Alrighty then. All right.
Vibrate.
Welcome back to the Big Shiny Podcast.
It does.
We should keep that all in.
It does vibrate.
It does vibrate. All right. We are going to have a... what is in that?
You don't want to know.
Alcohol.
Okay. I was like, I just got a whiff of that, and I'm drunk.
it's just moonshine.
Yeah. We are going to have a discussion about toys or collectibles or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I think any toy can really be a collectible if it's something you...
Welcome to my collection.
Yeah.
Bunch of bullshit.
So this is just kind of something I've observed over the... I guess really since becoming an adult, right? I mean, you become an adult.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so let me take it back a little bit.
Let me take this back.
Really? Really?
Every episode.
Edit that shit out.
Oh, no, that was awesome.
Okay, so...
That's a text tone. let me take this back.
Ball game.
So...
So sad.
Over the years, as I have had my own money that goes into my bank account that I choose to spend / waste on collectibles, however you want to put it, I've noticed a trend of the price seeming to go up while quality comes down. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not talking about your necessarily the top of the line stuff in this discussion. I'm going to kind of leave that aspect of it to Lucas.
Probably more like what you'd find at Toys R Us or Target.
Yeah, Toys R Us or Target down the action figure aisle, right? So my main example is the Marvel Legends line, okay? Several years ago, that was like my big collection point, right? I've got a ton of them in my geek room. That's like, you know, the most of what I've got was the Marvel Legends line. When it was good, right? I mean, they had a great Iron Man figure with the face mask that removes, the Captain America. They had all sorts of different X-Men. They even had the Sentry, all this stuff. And they had good articulation, decent paint, you know, especially for, you know, Target, Toys R Us toys. Mm-hmm. The Marvel Legends line, the last thing they did was like these double packs.
I remember those.
So I got the one that was Daredevil and Kingpin. In fact, I got... The one, and then I also got the Chase version too, where Daredevil's got his mask off,
and Kingpin's black.
He's in a black suit.
Oh, okay.
And then the other double pack that I ended up not picking
was
up
was a Sentry.
No, I got Sentry. That wasn't in double pack. There was two Sentries though.
Oh, okay.
There was the one that I've got where he's clean cut and he's got the. Yeah. But then there's the one where he's kind of. Goes crazy, and he's got the longer hair and the beard, which I wish I'd gotten that one because there was both there, and I was just kind of like, which one do I want? And I feel like I picked wrong.
So what you're setting up though, that's your idea of the higher quality was that time frame,
right? Was that time frame, and then after those
late '90s, early
no, I would say 2000s. Early 2000s is when they start coming out because those double packs are the last thing they did before they went away,
right? But the other ones. Okay, we know the time period, but that's what you're saying was your right. Kind of heyday.
Well, yeah, so I feel like for what you were paying for them, which was about, I believe, like $8 to $10 is about what you were paying.
God, no, I was like more 15, than that. 16.
Was it 15?
I remember paying at least 15 for the, because I got like the Spider-Man before the double packs. Like
you're
the,
right.
The
you're
Spider-Man, right. So the black.
Because
that was the first.
12 to 15, I think, depends.
That series was the first to have the amount of articulation
right.
That the figures had. It came with a comic book, a stand, and usually a big accessory.
And then that moved to
they were
to
all
Legends.
Fully painted.
And Legends had the bigger boxing,
right.
Bigger figures, bigger molds.
Because I've got the Legends cap, right?
Yeah,
and the Legends
came,
Red
that
Skull,
came,
I think.
That came right.
And you
right
might have got them cheaper because the thing was they were very hard to find. And then they did second and third runs. And then those hung around for a while at stores and they got clearance.
Right. So my point is the Marvel Legends line went away.
Right.
And now it's back. And it's shit.
And it's small.
Is it the 3 3/4?
No. It's still the 6-inch...
The big ones.
Yeah, the ones that I've got in my geek room, right? Those are 6-inch, right?
I believe so, yeah.
The 6-inch figures. So they just recently brought them back, I think just a year or two ago. And they're still doing the build-a-figures with them, where if you buy everything in the series, they each come with a part to make a bigger guy, right?
Like Sentinel was the
one. Yeah, but now the price of them has gone up to $20. They're like generally $19.99, I believe is generally what you find them for. And the quality has gone down. It doesn't come with a comic book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come with accessories. And the figure, in my opinion, the painting and stuff on them and the molds are of far less quality. but we're paying more, right? And I get it. Inflation and shit, whatever. Prices of things generally go up.
And I actually did want to comment on that at some point, the price of why action figures are more.
Right. So that's just that. So that's kind of what I wanted to have a discussion about, because for me, I still love collecting this stuff. But, you know, back when Marvel Legends was in its heyday, you know, $15 got you a decent figure, right? In my opinion, something that you could either keep in the package and display, take out of the package in my case, and put it up with a bunch of other ones, and it looked good on the shelf. But it was also a reasonable price, you know, for an aunt wanting to get someone, you know, a toy or something like that, right? Whatever. But now it's just, I can't say, and the most current Marvel Legends series that's out right now is like an Iron Man series. Like, all of them are different Iron Man. So you got Golden Age Iron Man, you've got current kind of movie version Iron Man, mm-hmm. you've got Iron Patriot and stuff. And there's a part of me that really wants the Iron Patriot.
Me too.
But again, it just doesn't seem worth $20 to me to add one more figure to my shelf, right? So if you want to have a discussion, see what you guys think about the current state of collectibles, whether that be action figures in a Target or even the higher end stuff.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So let me take a point on at least the pricing. I don't know.
And how much are those running?
20.
Fuck.
And all the things.
So start making your point. I'm going to go grab a figure from my guest room.
Yeah,
it looks all the same. Well, I want you to hear this, so.
I can hear you.
So the point that I want to make, at least the research I'd done, because I've heard this before with different people. I think your phone might be buzzing there, Kylie.
Phone is buzzing. The
just get away.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you can just turn. But the point I've heard people before say, especially in reference to like when we were kids, you know, you get a Ninja Turtle figure for like $5, and some of that you'd say is inflation. Well, inflation isn't necessarily as much as some people might think, and so from 1985 to now, inflation is roughly 79%. So if you took like a $5 figure, that would jump to $8.96 now. So something you'd paid $9 for now, you would have paid $5 for back then. If you think of inflation that way. So it's almost double, but not quite. The difference with action figures that's a little more difficult is there's a few more variables. Action figures are made of plastic.
Right.
Plastic is made from oil. The price of oil isn't like relative to inflation. Oil is way too fucking expensive for what it is. So the raw materials cost more, not just the oil, but then the paper to make the packaging, to print, all of those kind of add to that same price. On top of that, in other countries right now, you're seeing, like, especially in China where figures used to be made, they're having all these different labor disputes where the people that were making the action figures then are getting paid more now or trying to be paid more now. And some figures are actually going to Vietnam. If you look, quite a few of the figurines coming out now are from Vietnam because they treat their people worse, and so they pay them less, and we get the figure a little cheaper. But that's number two. The third being related to oil is shipping costs to get it from China or wherever to here. And oil, once again, isn't something from inflation. The fourth and final thing that can really attribute to the cost is safety testing. Every country has its own safety regulations around action figures, or any toy for that matter, and they were very loose and they were not nearly as big of a deal back when these figures came out in the early 2000s. Now, if I don't know if you guys remember, but in 2007, there was a bunch of toys that came out from China that had lead paint. Mm-hmm. And from the lead paint scare and all the lawsuits and the kids that got sick, all of these different countries have put in much stricter standards, and so there's a lot more money that goes into paying to have your figurine tested. So all of those are kind of why figurines have grown a little bit more expensive exponentially as compared to inflation. Because inflation, it maybe shouldn't be as high as some of them are, but that the building materials especially is what attributes to the cost. Now, as far as the quality, that's probably what's mostly up for debate.
Right, well, and I agree, like everything you just said, is you're knocking down those points. Okay, makes sense. But I would rather be paying, if the price went from 15 to 25, but the quality was still there, I'd be like, okay, but, you know, whatever. The price has gone up, but the problem is that the price has gone up, you know, even just $5, but the quality for me has gone down so much further.
Well, and I
think it seems like maybe the $5 difference that $5 isn't going as far now.
Right.
So for them to make the figures, it's the equivalent of maybe a $10 figure.
Well, and I think this is going to be the same. Then. And I think this ties to what we see in the tech industry as well, as, you know, like with these rare metals and things like that and all the different problems and the manufacturing issues with like Foxconn and stuff, where people are bitching about, oh, safety standards and stuff. But what they don't realize is, If you were to manufacture a MacBook or an Xbox or a PlayStation in the U.S., you'd have to pay $900 to $1,000 for this thing because the labor cost and the manufacturing cost is so much higher.
Unions and all that other stuff.
So the reason why the quality, and it ties into the quality as well, is because that stuff is happening over in China and they're moving it to Vietnam or whatever they're doing, they're only raising the price $10 and the quality is going down because they're trying to keep the price at only raising by $10 because nobody's going to pay $35 to $40 for an action figure. And so
I think you're hitting that spot right now where the margin's not there.
Yeah.
They can't pay enough to have the decent or paint jobs. They can claim that and charge
more. But let's take a look at the, what are those Star Wars figures that have just come out?
The Black Series.
The Black Series?
Right.
Those are the same price. Now, this is an older one, so this is the one that I'm saying was higher quality.
Good. No, I would agree that at least for bang for your buck, the team that they have on the Black Series figures at Hasbro are doing a much better job than... is this Mattel, do you know, or Play School?
I want to say
Toy Biz, maybe?
I think it was Mattel.
But I would agree that, yeah, Star Wars is knocking out of the park, but maybe the way they've got there situated, or whoever they've outsourced to, they're doing a great job with.
Yeah, so...
Toy Biz.
Toy Biz. And I think it moved to Mattel, though. I think that's what happened, is the Marvel Legends line ended, and then it moved to a different company, and then they're the ones who are putting it out now. But this one, I mean, for... I know what you're trying to do. But so just, I mean, for the folks at home that can't see it, this is an Iron Man figure that comes with a massive... It's removable. He's articulated. The paint job on it's is pretty decent, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
also comes with a base that is a bunch of defeated Ultron corpse, you know, robots that he's defeated, and a metal wall behind him that it looks like he's melted through.
And you can hang it on the wall.
And you can hang it on the wall. And this thing, when I bought it, was $15.
You know, to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me off the cuff if the people that made these are different than the company that's making the new ones.
No, that's what I'm saying. I know that that's the case for a
you
fact.
Do? Okay.
So Kylie just looked at the bottom. These were Toy Biz. I want to say Mattel took it over. Like, they bought the rights to the Marvel Legends series.
Or if they already had a deal with Disney for other figures.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if the license
is in. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, there's... You walk down the aisle at a Target, you know, just your casual collector that wants to maybe pick up an action figure or two, and there's more Spider-Man and Captain America and Iron Man and Hulk and Thor figures than you can shake a stick at. And for an adult that maybe wants to get them to just put them up on the shelf, in my opinion, none of them are worth the fucking plastic that they're wrapped in.
You know? I would say, if anything, this discussion isn't so much about action figures being too expensive and not worth it, like the quality, as much as Marvel figures. Because I'm finding myself buying more Star Wars figures now that are really amazing.
What about those TMNT figures?
Or the Ninja Turtles? The Ninja Turtle figures that you pay $7 or $8 for.
Remember when those Walking Dead figures came out at the beginning? I talked about those. They were the McFarlane toys, and they were... $25 a pop.
Awful.
And they were fucking horrible.
Well,
compared to like the movie Maniac shit. Awesome sculpts, awesome figures, awesome everything.
Do you think now
they were like $15?
I haven't bought McFarlane figures in probably 5 years. Do you think it's because they were trying to make a quick buck based on the Walking Dead titles, or are all the McFarlane figures kind of shitty now?
I think McFarlane has gone downhill for a while, because the Halo figures tend to fall apart. They have loose joints. Yeah. The sockets that they use start to fall apart.
I've heard a lot of people like, I got this figure home, took it out of the package, and the arm fell off.
See, in the last,
McFarlane thing.
The last McFarlane figure I bought was Spawn Dark Ages, so that must have been.
And see, the thing
that was probably one of the bigger ones. It was awesome looking sculpt.
It's still in my office. It's huge. The bats coming off his cape. It's fucking awesome.
Like, I mean, you can make this Iron Man flip people up. Give them the double finger.
So a little...
That's it. You can't do it now. Quality's in the toilet.
Jimmy, you can correct me, but a little history on action figures I'm going to go through, but I want you to correct me because I know you're a fanatic like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, action figures were for kids, right?
Yep.
We collect them now, but back in the day, it was just for kids. Kids beat the shit out of them, and then they threw them away, or the parents threw them away.
And to add to that point, action figures back in the day did stuff. Action figures now don't.
Action figures now don't. Yeah, like the pizza shooter.
They pose,
remember that shit?
Or different things.
Exactly.
Well, and some of that comes from lawsuits. from like other bullshit, but that's a whole other
kids discussion. Losing their eyes because of the pizza shooter.
Well, or parents shooting the kids in the eyes to sue
or play glow, school or glow or, like things used to glow
the ooze stuff. Although Ninja Turtles is bringing that back.
Yeah, they're bringing that back. I was just
so
gonna say
the point I'm getting to is they were for kids. No one gave a shit about them. It, to the extent that female characters like say Catwoman or Black Cat, just as an example, I don't know that they had action figures. They would take a sculpt of a boy figure like Robin and put a female head on it. So they didn't get their own sculpt. They didn't have sculptors that made these that gave a shit. McFarlane was one of the first guys to really, or his company, to take action figures seriously and hire sculptors to make works of art. And unfortunately, I think he's fallen away from that. They still look great, but they don't function as an action figure.
Everyone was bitching about those prices, but they were better quality.
Right.
You would still get like a glow-in-the-dark alien figure because he had like the alien line too.
I remember those, yeah.
And those were badass, but the articulation was better. They were bigger. They stood up. They came with like backgrounds and whatnot. Like, and they still shot stuff.
They did like the Matrix figures. And see, McFarlane, for a while,
some
he
of
was
those Matrix figures were fucking awesome.
Right.
I got two of them in my geek room, the ones where they're jumping off the walls and you got
that big diorama thing.
I had that and I got all the fucking pieces except for the giant diorama.
But see, like, all the kids were spending their $8 and $12, I think the regular figures were, and his were at like $20-$30 price range.
People his were like, a collector's item.
Yeah, but...
And I think that some of what Tyson is feeling is that was... It, our generation, that was the collector's price, was $20-$25, and so you were getting that higher dollar McFarlane figure, whereas now these are trying to be passed somewhere in between collectors and not, and they're not hitting the mark, these Marvel figures, the Marvel Legend figures.
Well, because
like the Black Series Star Wars figures, those are worth $20.
Oh, those are worth more. I would pay $25 for those. You know,
totally.
And I'm not, you're talking about the bigger ones.
The ones that I brought with when JJ was here.
Yeah.
Like, those things are of awesome quality, right? And I think the hardest part for me is, like, okay, obviously there's a different market. You know, if you want the collectibles and you can pay a little bit more, and the quality and the price seems to match up a little bit better at the higher end stuff, you know?
Right.
But the fun for me, and I've talked about this with... over the interwebs with Patrick from Laserbrain, is the chase.
I get that.
Or the hunt, right? So for me, like whenever I found out a Marvel Legends character was coming out, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go hit the Toys R Us on my lunch and see if I can't pick it up. Or like, you know, I did that with the Ninja Turtles, right? I didn't look it up online. The fun for me is to go to the store and be like, they have everyone but Donatello, son of a bitch. You know, it's like.
And that's part of like, when I go to the store now with Heather, they've done an amazing job with the Ninja Turtles line. And I know you're not watching the show, but most of the characters that are the little bad guys, they're making action figures and good action figures of. And they've got 20 some odd figures. So every time I go to the store, it's like,
there's a new one there.
Let's go see what's up. They didn't have it this week, but I don't have that guy. I'm keeping an eye out.
And
so I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And on the other side.
And they're $8.
And on the other side of the same coin is maybe you're not looking specifically for an action figure. But I don't know about you guys. Every time I go to Target. Every time. I could be going to Target to get, because it's the closest store and I need a 6-pack of toilet paper for the bathroom. It's a quick in and out stop. I'm still walking down the toy aisle.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to see.
If I was there 3 days ago and I already know what's there, still walking down it just to like look and see what's going on and stuff. But the main difference now is that where it used to be, I would walk down Target and maybe one out of every three times that I'm at a Target and just randomly walk down the toy aisle, I would buy something. I'm not buying anything now.
And see, I think you might be getting, I could be wrong, you could be getting where I did 3 or 4 years ago. Because I stopped buying stuff at Target. These Ninja Turtles are different, but for the most part, it got to be, do I want to waste my money on these little Marvel figures that aren't that good?
Yeah.
They clutter my shelf, they get dust, or do I want to just throw this in the bank account and buy a $200 figure that's really awesome?
I was just going to say that.
And that's where I ended up making that change, where I was like, it's just not worth the money.
I think that's the way I'm leaning now. And maybe not the $200 figures. Like,
that's not really
my market. But yeah, like the $50 figures.
Even those black figure Star Wars figures.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Like, if they came out with something like, now Star Wars isn't really my bag, but if they came out with a similar thing for Marvel or even like some DC stuff, like.
With the success that they're having, I'm sure you'll see
the Hot Toys Marvel stuff that they've been doing is pretty sweet.
Yeah, but that's what Lucas was saying. That's
the $200, $300
market.
Have you
seen the Snake Plissken?
Yeah, they've got a Snake Plissken. from Metal Gear. Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell.
So what about so let's take it off the Marvel Legends stuff. And what do you guys think about, like, you know, the Kid Robot stuff, the blind boxes? I love those Simpsons figures.
See, that's a whole
Halloween. It's a whole other thing. But like, I love, like, for me, I would rather spend $12 to $13 on a little pop, those Funko Pops.
So what you're seeing, what so what that is, and I'm not disagreeing. That's a that's a great segue
it's
over
a great
there.
Segue into collectibles.
So these, you're finding that the fine art market of vinyl figures.
Yeah.
Like Tyson's got here. Those are blind box, but like, you know, the Mighty Mugs were the first one, and then they've got the Funko where it's a very simple manufacturer. They don't have to pay a lot for that manufacturing, and then they can do different variations
but
on it. And they're collectible,
good.
And then they're rare.
Well, and
vinyl figures have a huge market.
Yeah, and the great thing about the vinyl figures, now the Fun Pop, is that the ones that are
the Funko Pops?
Funko Pop,
yeah.
The ones that do the Doctor Who ones, right? It's that company?
The one you're thinking of is like the ones that Ninja Turtles
have. Yeah, like the TMNT, like the limited edition.
Oh, I know. Turtles.
That's
Funko. They have the big head, the big bobbleheads.
These Doctor Who blind box figures, those aren't Kid Robot. Those are a different company.
Oh, that's Funko then. Yeah, that's Funko. They did the Walking Dead ones.
Those are the two big ones.
Yeah, so they're blind. Funko's blind boxes for Doctor Who, or for any series, they're like $10 or $11.
We had the Walking Dead ones for $8, I think, and the Kid Robot ones for $10.
Yeah.
See, now, so those ones I got from Barnes & Noble, those were $10 a pop.
Barnes & Noble marks all their shit up, though.
Yeah.
But the Kid Robot stuff that I bought, like, which I've got a huge collection of, well, not a huge collection, but a pretty good-sized collection in my room, those were $8 a pop. And the great thing about those is, I have a coworker who I travel to New York with on occasion, and last time we were in New York together, one evening after dinner, we stumbled across a Kid Robot store, right? And I actually didn't know Kid Robot actually had a store. I always thought that
That'd
they were
be amazing.
Online. But it's their flagship store. So we walked in there and stuff, and I walked out of there with like 6 blind boxes. And my coworker, who, you know, he generally indulges me whenever I'm talking about this kind of stuff, but he's like, "You paid $8 a pop for these things and you don't know what you're getting." So he says,
right.
So he's like, "So if you get doubles, you can't go back in there and exchange them." I'm like, "Nah, I'll just, you know, I've got some friends that collect it." It's the chase. I said, you know, it's like when you collected baseball cards or basketball cards as a kid, you go buy the packs and, you know, you open it up and you hope you get maybe someone's rookie card, you know, whatever. But, you know, they don't really understand. But for me, for $8 for a simple vinyl figure, it's a simple vinyl figure, but the paint job is excellent on them. Generally, there's something creative
on those too.
Yeah, a sculpt, and usually there's some sort of creative aspect about them. Whether it's like maybe the proportions are kind of funky, so it makes them look cool. There's always a reason for it.
It's much easier for that to be a desk ornament over a 6-inch figure.
Yeah, I've got a little Ken that sits right at my computer at work that I freaking love, and like the Treehouse of Horror figures.
Well, and that's cool. All of us awesome. That end up that working Willy. In cubicle farms. You know,
it's pretty common to be like,
I'm going to buy all this shit.
Yep. So my annual trip to New York is coming up. I leave a week from Sunday.
For that.
And, you know, I'm already going to hit that Kid Robot store one night, you know?
See, I could never get into the blind box bandwagon. I have too hard of a time. I'm not a big gambler, so being like...
That's the closest you can get to gambling in Utah.
Yeah, it's not as much my thing, but I get the draw of it.
Yeah.
And it's that... You know, you're looking for that one figure or those three figures.
Well, and it's funny though, because sometimes you have to snap yourself out of it, because I probably spent $30 trying to find the Leela figure, you know, like after, because I've got a majority of the Futurama figures. There's only like 2 that I'm missing. And one of them's Leela, which from what I'm looking at, when I'm looking at the boxes, isn't one of the harder ones to find, but I've just had shit luck when it comes to trying to find Leela. Yeah. And so I spend like $30. I get a couple duplicates. Luckily, at the Kid Robot store, if you take one in and say, "Hey, I have a duplicate," they've actually kind of got like this trade bag where like other people have come in. So it's an already opened figure, but there's nothing wrong with it. And if there's a figure in there in that bag that you don't happen to have, they'll trade you out and they'll drop your figure in the bag.
That's
and
pretty
stuff.
Cool.
So it's kind of cool, but there, you know, there's no Leela in there and stuff. So I ended
up
with
that bag's never full of Leelas.
Yeah, no. And so I ended up with some duplicates. Like, I think I ended up giving one to Nick or something like that, but I was able to get rid of them, give them to someone who wanted them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to snap yourself out of that mode of thinking, because then I look on Amazon and I can order an opened Leela, like someone's opened it and they're selling it for $5.
Well, that's,
you know,
it's not a
figure.
They prey on people, like, I don't want to say prey, but that's the demographic.
You
someone like
up
you,
in that chase.
They get wrapped up in it. It's a bit of a gamble.
But it's
you
part
want
of the fun.
Part of the hunt. Yeah. And
the
you want
to
buy in for it.
Right.
Yep.
So
that's a completely different side of action figures that have come about from Kid Robot. They kind of invented that industry in a lot of ways.
And they've got some really, I just think from a quality side of it, they're doing some really, really cool stuff. Like I've got two or three of actually the Captain America ones, and they just look good. They're just a good looking solid figure for, you know, $10, $11, which I really like.
So. Well, and that's, it's funny because like when I was getting the Mighty Mugs, people would say, you're paying $10 for this. And it, on the other side, to someone like you, you're like, this is exactly what I want for $10.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's like, here's my $10. Thank you.
I think now, especially with the age that we live in with the internet, where you can have access to anything, it's much easier to have this larger, like a breadth of action figures.
I'm sorry. Is that me?
Yeah.
God damn it. You've got the giant fucking phone. Sorry, dude.
Satellite dish on the fucking table.
So I don't know if we want to touch on higher tier at all.
Yeah, no. So we've talked about kind of the lower end stuff from the Marvel Legends to the Kid
Robot. I want you to, because I've been talking a lot.
So when I started collecting, I didn't want the blind box deal. I wanted to save up my money and buy sets because I always wanted complete sets of everything.
Yep. You and me.
That way I knew what I was getting. I would save all my hard-earned money. And just from like collecting standpoint, I think it's harder to get a rare figure by itself than it is in a set, because you're going to end up spending like $40, $50 when really you're only spent, if you buy it in a set, you're getting it for like $15, $20.
Well, I do the same thing with Magic the Gathering cards. I don't buy a booster pack. I just buy a whole fucking box.
Yeah.
Who cares about Magic, Tom?
You'd be surprised.
Blizzard cares about Magic.
Oh, yeah. I want to play Hearthstone. Is it cool?
Let me write it down. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, cool.
So,
did you get a beta for that?
Not yet.
Just Chris?
Talk about it next week, Tom.
Sorry. I'll wait 7 days exactly.
For fuck's sake.
So basically, if I wanted to collect the Marvel stuff, I would go back and get the stuff that I used to remember. I might be spending $30 or $40 more than I probably would to collect the whole set, but to me that's worth it because of the quality. Mm-hmm. To find that quality, so I might be that guy that spends $200 online to get a complete set, but at least I know I have it and I have that quality.
You're a completionist.
I wonder though too, how much of this is, no offense to you guys, but how much of this is nostalgia? Because like those original Ninja Turtle figures, every time they re-release those, I'll buy those and I'm all about them. But I have a nostalgia for that figure over like current Ninja Turtle figures.
Well, I get what you're saying about the nostalgia, but I mean to look at this figure
and I don't have the other one in front of me.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. Well, prior to this conversation, I should have just bit the bullet and went out and bought one of the new Marvel Legends so we could actually compare it. Right. Next time you're at Target, go down and
you're flipping us all off. By the way,
I know. go down the aisle and look at the Marvel Legend figure now. And I think even with not having this one in front of you at that point, I think you'll know what I'm talking about.
No, I definitely will.
You know what I mean? Like, well, pay a little bit more attention next time.
Think the quality standard, because I was at a business buying some stuff, and they had figures for regular show. And so I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to buy one for my wife. She loves that. We love that show. So I bought her one of Mordecai. And in the packaging, it looked okay, right? We take it home, we tear it open, whatever. And, like, the joints look really shitty and obvious. Like, I mean, they might as well have bolted the legs on with screws. Like, it just looked retarded. It wouldn't stand up. It was off balance.
And this is
a $15 figure.
But part of that, too, I want to kick to you. And I don't mean this in a condescending way. Toys are generally for children.
Oh, there we go.
That was pretty condescending.
So, and I don't want to be condescending show is a kid's cartoon.
It shouldn't be, but it is, yeah.
But it's a kid's cartoon, he's not going to care that I can't put this on my shelf. He's going to make it run around and do stuff. So something, it's kind of tough.
But,
like,
but as a kid, didn't you ever make your action figures stand up and put them in poses to fight each other? Like,
I'm not saying it can't stand up, but I'm just saying like that, the quality side of it.
I will say as a kid when I was actually playing with action figures, I generally had like a bin that I just kind of like, I mean, it was organized to a degree because it was like I had my Marvel figures in this one, my Ninja Turtles in this one.
Not mine.
And so it was, you know, but it was in a, like I wasn't setting them up on a shelf now. And I see what Lucas is saying.
I don't
saying
mean to make that point on
no,
you.
Mine were always in the bathtub with
I
me.
Wanted to say like, but they are for kids ultimately.
Isn't that a cop out though? Well, they're for kids, so they should be shitty.
I'm not saying they're shitty, but they're.
But you know what I'm saying, right? Like
a kid, but the kids do get like, an adult versus a child's thing, like they're going to get a certain amount of like a poor quality item,
and you're
because
paying.
They're a kid and they're going to destroy it. And do you know what I mean?
I get
like
that.
A kid's leap pad or whatever it is versus an iPad.
Right. It just doesn't make sense in my head. Like, well, this is for a kid, therefore it should be shittier.
I'm not saying it should be shittier. I'm just saying, like, here's the deal. Let me set this up. You're a parent. Your kid likes regular show. You know, you're a football fanatic or whatever, but you have no desire to collect nerd shit. You don't like action figures. It's not your thing. Your kid wants an action figure. You don't want to get out of there without spending $1 million.
Right.
So you're like, okay, yeah, for the price point, I need to get an action figure for my son for the show he likes at $15. For it to be a higher quality to stand or have better articulation or hire a sculptor to do better, it might have to be up closer to 20 or 25. And then it's outside of that, like, 1 to 7 year old kid action figure.
I get that. I just think for
15, the limitations.
I think for $15, the thing shouldn't have looked like shit and stood up. That's all it is.
I'm sorry. I just was making that point on you, yeah. Not necessarily you.
I don't. You're not going to offend me. I play with children's toys.
Sorry.
He wants to get back to his.
Hey, Jimmy.
So I opened up 90% of the collection. There's only like 10 figures out of the fucking 30 or 40 figures.
Did you open any turtles I gave you?
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I opened everything up and I displayed them, and I found a new passion for it because now I can pose things, which I've never been able to do
before. They're all performing oral sex on each other, aren't they?
But it's kind of, I don't know, I'm doing this thing where I have like themes. So you know how people take like a model train and they make like moss and everything? Well, I'm doing that with all my stuff. So I'm actually building scenes.
Wait, you're opening your shit up?
Yeah, everything's opened up right now, with the exception of maybe 10 figures.
That's crazy. So you're talking about all those figures that you had in that curio cabinet that we moved. You opened all that shit up?
Yeah, all my Earthworm Jim figures.
Oh my God.
We need to go to West Valley Hobby.
What's
the name of your therapist?
It smelled like plastic in my room for like 3 days.
Shanna comes home and he's just on his knees crying.
It's so much easier to deal with them when they're out of the package.
Yeah, and there's so much more space. But I broke maybe like 4 or 5 figures because I was just antsy and I was almost crying. But I super glued everything. So, again, with the Todd stuff, the joints are really weak. And there's always like a very thin layer of plastic between like joints connecting. I don't know. So there's like if there's an elbow movement, there's also a wrist movement, but the wrist movement, you don't want to be too, like...
Right.
You know.
It'll snap.
Yeah, it'll snap super duper. You're
talking about, like, these little things here. Yeah,
but then there's also, like, can go, like, side to side.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to bring up is, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures that you and I have? Not the ones, the $8 ones. The bigger ones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are kind of representing the old releases and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know
what I'm talking about, right? The nunchucks, the classics, actual chain.
They're referred to as the classics.
So those are $20. Those were $20 a pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those were, I would say, it's fair to say that those were intended to be collectibles more than anything else.
Well, definitely,
right? It was aimed towards the yous and me that grew up with Ninja Turtles. That those were the figures that we collected. You know, right. Something for us adults to put on our shelves, right?
Right.
So those are intended to be of higher quality, I think, and they're great, right? But your Leonardo has fucked up looking eyes, right? Yep. Two black dots that they couldn't get to look right. And my Donatello, the shoulder joints, didn't get cut. So it looks like there's a joint there, but it's not actually a joint. So his arms are stuck straight out like this.
It's probably just tight.
No, I've looked at it.
You just need to force it.
It's not, like, there's no...
It's got to be the way they make them, it has to be a joint, but it's probably tight enough that it might break if
luckily it's Donatello, so I can put his bow staff in there and it looks intentional, right? But it's just kind of like,
but see, that's another figure that was $15 to $20 depending on where you got it.
If you want the good shit, you got to go dig for it or find it.
Or spend $100.
Well, yeah, but then you shouldn't have a reason to complain unless it's like the whatchamacallit guy that started fading after you bought him.
Oh, Stay Puft?
Yeah,
that was bullshit, because that was like $70.
Yeah.
One safety tip for the nerd collectors that do have action figures, and they are out of the package, but they, you know, you store them in, say, like a Tupperware or different things.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, I was looking at throwing mine in Ziploc baggies so they don't rub together and fuck up the paint. Don't do that, because Ziploc baggies have stuff in them to keep food good, and that actually will turn the plastic into like a sticky mush, and it can fuck up the paint.
Huh.
So don't put your action figures in Ziploc baggies, but you can buy bulk bags similar to like comic bags that don't have anything on them that won't hurt the figures. They're cheap. So just safety tip, don't put your shit in Ziploc baggies. It doesn't do to all figures, but it can turn them to goo.
So since we are kind of running a little low on time, Lucas, I wanted to hear about what you have to say on the matter with, because you at this table probably more than anybody collect the higher end. You know, you're the one to drop $200-$300 on the Hot Toys and stuff. I mean, obviously a Hot Toys, I mean, that quality is through the fucking roof, right? And it better be, because you're paying for it, right? But have there been anything that you've noticed on maybe the higher end of the scale that you've seen either you know, positive or negatively as far as price to quality comparison?
So, like, I'm falling victim to the price hike even there. Like, the Hot Toys had started around 200 and now they're getting closer to 300. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with just, you know, the price of oil. But then they have more eyes on their company, so they have more people working there. They have more sculptors on the job. They have higher license, like higher end licenses like Marvel. So I think all around there's just a higher budget.
Right.
But aside from that, and I don't know, this might sound snooty and I will try not to, but it's kind of the difference between going to a high end restaurant like, I don't say Rodizio Grill, but you go to
Olive Garden.
let's compare it to Olive Garden to like McDonald's. A lot of it too is not only what you're getting.
I'm still at mid tier with that. That's
still like Olive Garden. I'm still going to McDonald's at this point. Yeah.
What was the place we went for your Christopher's? Okay, yeah. So Christopher's is a really high end steak. So it's the quality of the item you're getting, right? But then it's also a lot to do with presentation.
Right.
So the lower end figurine you're getting on a blister pack, it's probably okay packaging, but it's the same for everything. Whereas a Hot Toy, the figures I've got, the presentation, it's this big box. It's got less is more kind of design.
Yep.
You open it up, it's like a fucking gun case as far as there's tons of foam. Everything fits in its place. It's got all the little spots for the different hands. Everything's got the airbrushed and has been painted perfectly. You've had, you know, probably 30 different Asians look at this figure to make sure it's, you know, done really well.
Do they have to be Asians?
It's in Japan, so I would just...
Most likely.
There's like one Mexican guy on the production line.
He's like, I don't like it.
Señor, send it back. Bueno.
He could be. So I don't know. That's, like I was saying earlier, I hit a point where I didn't want to store or move or deal with action figures, and I got sick of buying Iron Man a couple dozen different ways. I got sick of buying Spider-Man, and essentially, and I don't mean any offense, they're children's toys. Like, the lower end, like the 10 to 15, they're children's toys, and I don't know. I just started feeling silly spending $200 or $300 on children's toys that I have to find a place to store, but it's for me to put them out wasn't like worthwhile.
Right.
They're not that conversation piece. When a Hot Toy, I spend $200 or $300 on that, it's an investment. Action figures, even in the package, aren't worth what you bought them for. They're just like a car. As soon as you take them out of the store, they're not worth that. So the Hot Toys, the quality, you guys have seen some of the stuff I have. The paint jobs are amazing, the sculpts are amazing. Especially when you get into like the things that don't necessarily, well, like people look good, but like Iron Man looks amazing. Like figures that are like the monster creations or mechanical stuff.
Well, I know you had an issue with one of your Spider-Man figures. Like,
yeah,
something didn't look quite right.
The cloth outfit.
Yeah, the cloth kind of was kind of weird and clunky, and the way it came off of his chin and went down to his neck. But they fixed that because like they've got the amazing Spider-Man, the Garfield figure coming out. And it looks fucking amazing. And the way they got around it, that, yeah, Garfield the cat, he fucking hates Mondays, but he loves lasagna. He comes with a piece of lasagna.
That's Bill Murray.
And so it's gotten dangerous to where I'm like, I wish that Maddie would drop the license, because that's one series that I feel like there's constant arguments around the line that Maddie Collector did for Ghostbusters. Was it worth the money? The sculpts that they did, there, most of them are kind of re-releases of similar figures where, you know, it's the same Ray head on now this courtroom body, which is just a recast of this and such. But you don't see that with some of the higher tier, like Hot Toys. Another one is Medicom, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. They do some amazing figures. Sideshow does okay ones. Some are great, some aren't so great. They've got a Batman one coming out that's $200, and it's based off of like late 80s, early 90s Batman, like the blue suit. It comes with two heads with the long ears and the short ears, different faces, like growling, the white eyes, gray shirt, blue cape, blue gloves. Sexy stuff like that's where it's like, okay, yeah, $200, I can put that on the shelf, and then most likely if I want to get rid of it, even if I don't get 200, if I get 150, then it's 50 to my next figure. It's, you know,
it's an expensive doll.
Exactly. And that's all they are. And that's, it's, I don't know, maybe it was a bit of acceptance on my part of, you know, instead of buying children's toys,
well, because
I'm a huge fucking nerd, I'm just going to drop some serious cash on a serious figure.
It's back to being a kid. Like, you bought the Wolverine that looked like the Wolverine you saw on TV. So now you're buying the Batman that looked like the old Batman comics you used to read.
Well, and it's getting out of this market, because the where your stuff's at that $10 to $30 price mark is they're for children. Like, it's in the children's aisle. And sure, collectors are going to go and buy them, but they're made for children, so they're constantly having to take that battle of keeping it cheap enough that parents will still buy it so they can sell the majority of them, but make it good enough for someone like you or I to want to pick it up. I'm out of that. Fuck that. I'll drop $200 or $300. Just make it good enough for me as a collector to want to buy it.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it's the market, because I have no delusions that the Iron Man figure I'm going to go pick up at Target is going to be anything even close to touching the quality of a Hot Toys even like a McFarlane or anything like that, right? My main problem is, like I said, is that I know the people who manufacture these toys, especially like the Marvel Legends kind of stuff, the Star Wars Black Box, right? Or what is that? Black Series, right? It's down the same
toy aisle. To me, it's a phenomenon that they're that good of a quality.
Right. And yeah, it seems to be the exception. And hopefully, maybe since those are out there now, it drives the quality of other things up. But those Black Series figures are down the same damn aisle as the other toy stuff. So
I've even ran into problems with those. Like Darth Maul has really loose joints.
Right.
I can't make him stand similar to yours.
But again, that's the quality. The Black Series, from what I've seen and held with yours and stuff, that to me is a $20 figure. Is it amazing? No, but it's definitely worth $20, and it looks great on the shelf. It's a good conversation piece. It's worth your money for someone that's a lower end collector that doesn't want to spend the money on the Hot Toys, right? The thing is like with the Marvel Legends stuff, is the manufacturers know that there's adult collectors out there picking this stuff up. And like you said, they have to walk that line. Like, durable for kids, but there's those guys out there that want
to
pick it up.
And they have to cater to their majority audience, which is not us.
And if you are collecting at that level, I don't think you should be taking them out of the packages.
Well, and the difference, too, their Marvel Legends figures, I'm guessing, take up 2 or 3 pegs, maybe 4. Like, there's a lot of them at the store when you go.
Yeah, probably 3.
The Black Series, if you're lucky, there's 1 of each. They're very limited quantity, I think, because they know that their audience on that is a collector's market.
Yeah.
But the black, because there's a 6-inch Black Series and then the 3 3/4, the 3 3/4 take up tons of pegs, but they're, a smaller figure, not quite as good of a quality, and I think they're like a $10 price point.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, but the Black Series Stars figures, that's a phenomenon. The fact that they're that cheap and that good.
Well, and I think that the Black Series, like I said, I think that is the expectation for me of what a $20 figure should be and what it used to be. The current Marvel Legends line is unfortunately what it seems most things are going to. So I'm hoping maybe the pendulum swings back the other way with this Black Series.
I don't mean to hurt.
It's my hope that it does, because at the end of the day, I'm never ever buying a Hot Toy. Like, there's other things, like, for my interests and stuff that I'm going to spend my money on that doesn't include the collector stuff. But at the same time, I'm not going to bitch about not having one, because I could spend the money on that, right? It's just not my market. The little dinky things that I can put on a shelf, but they look decent, is what I'm going for. And unfortunately, I feel like the quality of that has fallen a lot to where it's like, the lower end collectors, like, it's no fun anymore, right? You go down the toy aisle at Target or Toys R Us and stuff like that, and it's like, this is shit, and it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, but that's, you hit that with even, like, with the McFarlane toys, those are maybe $20 or $25, but those are for in the package. Kylie and Jimmy, you take it out of the package, they fall apart.
Yeah.
That's a display collector's, it's, that price range is really difficult to collect in, and that's part of why I just got out.
Kylie has a great collection of like statues and busts and stuff.
Oh, man,
and
they're amazing.
I think if anyone is interested in being a collector, I think that's kind of where you want to be, because it has like the $50 to $80 price range, would you say?
When I stopped buying action figures, that's where I went. Yeah. Where like the Batman black and white statues that started at $45.
So awesome. Now they're $100 almost. Now.
Right, but even still, like, not too bad of a price point for what
and
they
you
are.
Can, yeah. And you can find your interest in that area, and they still look good. They're painted well. See, maybe they just don't articulate.
Maybe and they'll retain their value.
Yeah. And maybe what I need to do now is start looking like, you know, because like I said, I'm never going to spend $200, but, you know, $45 for a nice-looking bust or statue or something like that, especially because they're just sitting on the shelf. Mm-hmm. I don't need articulation, you know? Right.
And that's something, too, that they have to sacrifice for the articulation for you to pose, but for kids to play with.
Yeah.
If, you know, they sacrifice that on the sculpt.
The more it moves, the more it breaks.
Yeah. And the shittier that the joints and everything are going to look. But with the busts, where I went, you could probably get on eBay, Tyson, and most busts get for pretty cheap. Like, they have really nice Hellboy ones. Some of the old black and white Batmans are worth a lot. Some are worth only $45. Yeah. Like, it's not a bad market to get into if you're getting sick of this shit, because two of these and you've got a decent bust.
Yeah. Well, and like that, how much is that Swamp Thing? Have you gotten that Swamp Thing in yet?
Two or three.
You're talking the
one you were talking about with the wings and everything that you were.
Oh no,
on?
I haven't. And that's an action figure, actually.
That's
like a big fucking action figure.
Nice.
You do have a Swamp Thing bust, though.
Mm-hmm. I do. I have like a little mini one, and that one I brought in that you were ragging on. I look at all the Swamp Things that I have, and he looks the best out of the three I've got. He still looks really fucking sweet. You'll come over, you'll look at that, and go, yeah.
So I think summing it up, it's definitely a personal preference,
right?
And companies, as they come and go and have to meet different price points, the quality is going to waver. Well, and it's unfortunate that Marvel is on that side of it. I think Ninja Turtles, the figures that they had with the Fox series after the one we grew up on, but not the current, for me, those were shit.
Well, and I think
compared to now.
I think that the message of with any product, with tech, with this, is you get what you pay for, right?
Not necessarily, but
For the most part, you get what you pay for.
That's a good general rule, but you still have to be smart. Just because it's a lot of money doesn't mean it's quality, but...
Right, but if it's $1.50, it's probably worth $1.50.
Well, right. All right, so that pretty much wraps it up for us this week. Join us next week. We're going to talk about video games, including Tom and his goddamn MOGA Pro controller that he's...
I got one now.
The end of your world and productivity. So thanks for listening. As always, check us out on iTunes. Feel free to subscribe and give us a rating. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girl Cast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.